the name of God, who loves us totally, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. I don't know if Father Lang checked the liturgical calendar when he decided on his retirement date. Or maybe God actually had a plan in his decision, because he certainly couldn't have chosen a more appropriate time. In our liturgical life, we're in between the time of Jesus' ascension and when he left his disciples for good, and Pentecost next week, the coming of the Holy Spirit. This was an in-between time for both for the first disciples and for us. When Jesus ascended into heaven, as our tradition teaches, his disciples were saddened and confused by his departure. Not unlike us, as we are both sad at Nicholas's leaving and a little anxious about the future. We too are an in-between time. Please know, however, that God is always with us, and that Father Lang trusts us, just as Jesus trusted his first disciples, to live into all that we have been taught. Radical welcome, inclusion, diversity, social justice, the lessons Jesus himself embodied. So here we are in this time together, all of us. And we hear Jesus praying for us in today's gospel. It comforts me, actually, as much as I struggled with this text, that Jesus is praying for me and for you and for us together. We're at the tail end of the Easter season, and we no longer have resurrection appearances in our Sunday Gospels. Today we get a picture of Jesus at the Last Supper, the last time he spent with his friends and disciples before his crucifixion. It had to be poignant and painful for Jesus, if not for the disciples. At this point in the text, the supper is over, the wine has been drunk and the bread eaten, feet have been washed. And after a long and rambling discourse, three whole chapters worth in John's Gospel, Jesus finally ends with a prayer. Sometimes it's called the high priestly prayer, and we've just heard the tail end of it. And then, after he's finished praying, they're out of the house and across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane. These are Jesus' last words before his arrest and the Passion. I made your name known to them, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The last words at the Last Supper, when Jesus asks that his followers be united in truth and love, so that their lives will be witness to the world that Jesus is indeed the Lord. This prayer includes us. The requirement for unity does not mean unanimity, but a connection in our common life together, in which Christ commends the faith to others and reaches out beyond itself to a hurting world. Jesus was praying for them that they would believe in what he had taught them and would live into it. And he's counting on us to share the message of love and wholeness and inclusion wherever we are in life, with whomever we encounter, by embracing it and living it. Jesus' prayer is answered when we live in patience and love with one another. I try and pray for a lot of people. I have a long prayer list, persons from our national and world life, for our bishops and other leaders, and a whole lot of individual persons. And last week, Nicholas asked us to pray for him. So to know that Jesus is praying for me and for all of the disciples in the first century or the 21st is both encouraging and energizing. No matter what we are facing in our lives, no matter how tough things may be, Jesus is praying for us. And what I think he's saying in this long prayer and sermon is that we need to hang on to one another, to take care of one another. And that one another extends beyond this community into all whom we know and meet. We live in a world that wants to create disunity through division, where identity is formed by putting people over against one another. We know that we're right because we're not them, is the message we get over and over from leaders here and abroad. It is into this world that Jesus is praying for unity. The world's unity has been forged at the expense of the marginalized and the outcast and people we've designated enemy. It is the violence of racism and homophobia and bigotry, the formation of communities and cultures and nations with borders that not only shape those on the inside, but keep others out. And this is antithetical to what Jesus wants. He wants real unity that reaches across boundaries and draws everyone in. Our life as Christians is to see the face of Christ in one another, in every person, to treat all as we would treat Jesus, to be icons of Christ every day of our lives, to let the light of Christ shine through us, to love one another as we love ourselves, as we are loved by God. And Jesus prays that we will be able to do this in the first words of that prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will be believing in me through their word. He's praying that others will come to believe in him by our example and witness. It is a huge responsibility. Living a life aligned with Jesus is difficult, for sure. We practice and practice trying to get a few basics right. And the basics are not about what we believe, but how we live. It's mostly unglamorous work, as unglamorous as brushing our teeth at the bookends of the day or playing scales and arpeggios endlessly while we're learning to play the piano. I don't think that there's anything resembling expertise that exists in the Christian life. How can we become experts at receiving the totally undeserved mercy of God on a daily basis? How can we learn better to allow our hearts to break open more often for people who suffer? Exactly what kind of mastery would be necessary to live consistently in unself-serving ways? There's a reason we speak meaningfully of practicing the faith. It's all practice. I'm working at trying to be a Christian, and that's serious business, Maya Angelou once remarked. It's not something where you think, oh, I've got it done. I did it all today, hot diggity. The truth is, all day long, you try to do your best, you try to be it, and then in the evening, if you're honest and have a little courage, you look at yourself and you say, I only blew it 86 times. Not bad. I'm trying to be a Christian. Jesus' ministry was spent showing people, beginning with his disciples, how wide and expansive God's love is, and that God wanted to be in relationship with every person, that God didn't erect boundaries, excluding some and including others. Jesus taught that all persons were God's children and everyone he encountered was beloved of God. And that the only way we put ourselves outside God's embrace is by our own self-exclusion. This is the message The disciples in every generation were to learn and to live into and to share. And this is what he was telling them that night before he died, that all persons were loved unconditionally, no exceptions. Knowing that Jesus is praying for us, that Jesus is rooting for us to live into the example he has given us, consoles me hugely and encourages me to keep trying to be a Christian, as Maya Angelou said.